Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning? This will be airing December the 16th. We are ahead of the game. We talked yesterday about our privilege of doing that and thankful for the technology and
absolutely,
for God keep reminding us is let me help you stay in your sweet spot. And the neat thing is that he does say something, you know, like, huh, you know, and we processed it. What does that look like? And we know that he knows best.
Yes.
And none better. And so he shows us cool stuff of how to keep our margin. And you and I, you and Dan, Linda and I, we work hard at staying in that sweet spot. Sweet spot is the pleasure, the freedom, the joy that we have while we are fulfilling.
Right.
You know, the things that we are supposed to be involved in, which, you know, for you, we'll be learning even more now how to be available for your grandchildren. And by the way, that takes time. And it's a nothing but a joy for sure.
Right. Right.
And that means that if you're going to do that, well, you're going to have to do something less, you know, and so.
Yeah. Well, and even, you know, I know we shared about this, but even with Caleb and Olivia moving to Oregon and, you know, a new dynamic in our family with that will add travel, you know.
It will. Yeah.
And so just different parameters coming up in this next season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always dynamic. And that's why God says, yeah, you got to pay attention and let me prune you. I will. And the neat thing he does, and we get to maintain our joy and fulfill his assignments, you know, what he has, which is, hey, you're going to have to travel out west. And then we'll encourage you to, hey, stop by Denver. We'll get to see you too. So more time.
Some of the planes actually do go through, you know, if I don't get a nonstop, I think it's Boston, Denver, Denver, Portland.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway, we've been talking about, you know, forgiveness, reconciliation. We've set up, you know, that, well, when unbelievers hurt you and are harming you with consequences, same deal. You got to forgive them on the way that Christ has forgiven everybody. He said, believers, unbelievers, because I did it once and for all people, to give them the opportunity to move toward reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I don't hammer them as to what's wrong with you. You know, I already know what's wrong with them. They're not perfect.
Right.
And I don't say you got to become perfect, and I don't hammer them to become perfect. What I do say is I've taken the penalty on for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you no longer have to be perfect. But now you have to process the truth in order to be reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
And so think of forgiveness as a freedom that it gives me to not hammer anybody, but rather, yeah, based on their condition, based on their situation, which God doesn't change per se. If they choose not to follow me, he said they're condemned and they never have the opportunity to live with me eternally if they don't process it. So he said, but I give them that opportunity. So we're giving them the opportunity to reconcile. Unbelievers, he said, well, because they're self-centered and they have no sense of a true right and discernment of what's good, because they don't know me at all, they could easily not give 1 ounce of care about the impact that they have on you and think that they got away with something or are getting away with something, and they're not going to restore anything or make anything right. And he said, does that surprise you? No. Once in a while they will, and that's good, but you got to let that go and move on. You know, and okay. But believers, we seem to have a different, and you actually said it well, a higher level of standard.
Mm-hmm.
We expect them because they're a believer and they do have the Holy Spirit. Well, aren't they supposed to care?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a Bible believing person, the Bible says really clearly, if you've offended somebody, either I notice you or they tell you that you've offended them.
Right.
He says, drop what you're doing, particularly your thought of, you know, hey, you're even it basically says, hey, you're in church worshiping me and I let you know, or somebody comes to mind that you've offended them. He said, get up out of church and go resolve it, you know, right now. That's what my will is. So you would think, well, don't they know that?
Right.
And aren't they supposed to? And don't they want to come and reconcile? And God says, well, unfortunately, just because they're a believer, they can function in a different way. And mm-hmm. and this is what we talk about abiding, and we've set this up over and over and over again. You can be a believer, but you could be functioning in essence as an unbeliever mm-hmm. because you've walked away from being led by the Holy Spirit with a desire to follow my will and let me speak to them. So if anybody does that and that you tell them, hey, you've offended me, I want to talk about it. See, they would automatically say, sure. Mm-hmm. Because they're walking in the Spirit, and you know that that's God's will.
Right.
You know, and by the way, that's what Linda and I do. I'm sure Dan and you do. If I go to Linda, or Linda comes to me and says, hey, Rich, this one thing you did, or this one situation, or how you treated me, or how you responded to me, or didn't respond
right.
to me, you know, with, hey, I'll get to you later. She said, that kind of offended me. And mm-hmm. now because I'm walking in the Holy Spirit and I want to see God's will, see, I automatically say, sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Why? Well, that's the truth. See,
yeah.
The truth is functioning. What does God want? Reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if somebody offended you, there may be this need for you to express that to them. They mm-hmm. might not even fully understand that. You need to express it to them. And we talked, you brought up this great example a couple of times ago of inadvertent,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I wasn't even aware of it, but Linda said, hey, I need to have you understand something that even though you think nothing about it, it did offend me. And let's talk
right.
about it. You know, sure. No problem. Now, he said, unfortunately, there are people that are believers that aren't walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they wind up at a different place in their own thinking that doesn't necessarily motivate them to say, I'll work it through with you. And he said,
right.
Romans 8, if you walk in the flesh, and remember, we define the flesh as self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
I decide on my own, and I'm not letting the Holy Spirit guide me. So I'm making my own decisions in the flesh, in the natural, based on my natural emotion.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when that happens, you put to death the power of the Holy Spirit, so you become less and less sensitive to any work of the Holy Spirit, which is going to prompt you to want to reconcile. You're at enmity against God. My will, God speaking, is to have you reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
But you're working against that. See, you're at enmity against me. You're going the opposite direction. Say, I don't care. And I'm not gonna, or I don't even care about it. And then third is you can't please God.
Right.
He said, well, there's people that are in that.
Those are some pretty harsh words, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He said, unfortunately, there's people in that place. Okay. Now, what we wanted today is a little bit is let's look at the depth underneath that. What happens? What's happening in their life that puts them in that spot? So we're going to go to Psalm 78. This is we won't read the whole Psalm. It'll take us another 20 minutes to do that. But he says, I'm talking to my children, Israel, and he calls them children. So you're part of my nation. You're my children. And we could look at that as these are believers who, yes, are connected to God. Yes, they
right.
are. Okay. He said, unfortunately, because of the free will, they can move to a different spot in their relationship to me and therefore to other people. So mm-hmm. let's look at a couple of examples here of what he says. Go to Psalm 78, read verses 5 through 11.
Sure. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them.
Okay, so he says now, fundamentally, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all these by the ways that are kind of important to receive. He says, my life for you mm-hmm. is for you to receive. And he says the testimony, the experience of walking with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to teach your children and the next generation, which means the children's children and to mm-hmm. children yet unborn, And think of that, you know, downstream. So that right now, you know, you've got children, now you have grandchildren. Those grandchildren that are babies, you know, will 20, 25 years from now be adults, get married, and could have great grandchildren. Those children that are born 25 years from now will have babies. And 50 years from now, they'll be your offspring. So he's saying that look downstream. And by the way, this also applies to spiritual children, is that if you teach your children to walk with God, and you help them teach their children to walk, and then if you're lucky enough to live, you can teach their children, great-grandchildren. It's possible, Linda and I, because we were, I was married when we were 20 and Linda was 18. We've been married 55 years and we're still very healthy, you know, and so, gosh, and we've got adult grandchildren now that could get married. And have great grandchildren, which would be the thrill of Linda's heart, by the way. But we're not going to move. We're not going to last past that. For sure. But if we teach our children and our grandchildren, and by the way, we're helping our children teach our grandchildren. We help our grandchildren teach their children. He says, you'll perpetuate the life of the spirit. And he said, that's the primary, one of your, by the way, one of your primary assignments, which you would. You appreciate because you're starting to have grandchildren. You already know that, hey, you're the matriarch and patriarch of this family. That's one of your big assignments. And it takes time, by the way.
And it's important.
And he says, now teach them not to go to the flesh. Okay. That's what he's saying here. And that they should not be like their, what happened to some of their dads and moms. They went to the flesh. And here's what they did. Stubborn and rebellious, who heart and the soul was not dedicated to following God, and they were not faithful to dedicating God because they became stubborn and rebellious. In the day of battle, and think of adversity, they never went to God. They turned back and they tried to solve it themselves or run away from it. So he said, hey, you're going to have battle. You're going to have adversity. And you didn't follow me. You started to learn a life absent of me. And you didn't keep my covenant, which is to follow me. You refused to walk with me and you forgot what I did. Okay. So now think about all of that. What happened to their hearts, their souls? They were being taught. But what happened to them?
The hearts got hard. They went to self. And as
self,
they did that.
To the point of rebellious, stubborn. I'm not going to. So in this context of hurt, I don't care that I hurt somebody. I am not going to care and do anything about it.
Because when you hear stubborn and rebellious, there's intentionality in that.
There
is, you know, I know what I'm being called to do and I'm not doing it. It's not even like there are times when we, out of not knowing better, do things and the Holy Spirit checks us. But this is, you've been told, you know this to be true, and you are willfully choosing something else.
And you're getting more and more stubborn, which again builds up in the soul of us when we're in the flesh, because without the power of the input of the Holy Spirit and abiding in the relationship, your mind starts to go kind of off. And what I mean by that is that you develop a rationale for why I don't need to care. And you get callous, you get stubborn, you get rebellious, you get hard-hearted. And there's not even the thought of what I'm doing is needed to be changed. I'm justifying what I'm doing. And you're what I call insensitive, that I don't really care. I just don't ever care about it. I'm a believer. I say I'm a believer, but I don't care.
Can I highlight something you just said? You said you justify what you're doing. And just that word stuck out to me because I do see that happen often. And this is where your abiding community is so important too, because it is easy to find a community around you that will also justify with you what you're thinking and feeling and believing simply based on self. And even sometimes out of, you know, out of a good heart or out of wanting to protect you or feeling hurt for you, all kinds of things. You can find plenty of people who will justify what you're feeling apart from what God's calling you to do. And so having a community of abiding believers where you have authentic community, the permission given to each other to call each other out and speak truth is really important in not getting to this point.
Yes. because if I have an abiding community and they are around me with a permission, basically, to help me discover God's will.
Yeah.
And I want to. If I drift, it's going to be obvious. And they're going to say, hey, Rich, we would like to say something here that it seems like you're upset or you're indifferent towards something that we've observed here, and you're moving into the flesh. Now, remember, the remedy isn't go fix that.
Right.
It would be, no, let me help you get back to abiding and then let God guide you. But I'm challenging that you're being deceived by your own thinking.
Right.
And you justify what you're thinking. And I think that's really important. What you just said is that without it, it's easy to drift. Even with the best of intentions, you know,
well,
I do a devotion every day and I go to church and all that. Yeah. But where are you in your walk with God? Are you following him? Are you in the flesh? Because you may be at enmity against God.
Right.
And you're getting insensitive to that being at enmity. You think I'm fine. And God will forgive me no matter what, you know, and which he does. But he says that doesn't resolve the consequences of what you do.
Right. And right.
You need to be reconciled. So I love what you said there. Okay, go to Psalm 78 now. This is the second example, 35 through 42. Now we're looking at what is going on in the heart that causes them to put to death the power of the Spirit to be at enmity against God and not pleasing God.
35 to 42 says, "Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy."
Yeah. So he said that, well, yeah, that's right. I'm a believer. But they then flattered God and lied to him and were not steadfast to him. Okay. So think about that. I'm saying, yeah, I pray. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I care about Christian things. Look at me. And he said, it's not reflecting the truth of what you are and what you're doing, that you act like you are a Christian and say everything's fine and you act friendly, but you're hurting people.
Right.
You're coming against people and you're saying, no, I'm a believer and I care. But the truth is, in certain situations, you don't care. And you're lying about it. Why? Because again, your heart is getting callous and you're justifying, you know, your position and not really being truthful to say, yeah, I'm really, I know I hurt that person and I need to do something about it. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter if I hurt him or they even tell me that I hurt him. So what? I don't care. And then he says, you're not faithful to walking with me, the covenant. You're not receiving the covenant because I can't deliver it to you.
Right.
And yet you still are going that direction. And he said, now, remember, he said, I've released you from your iniquity, which means that he's kind of saying here, yes, you're a believer. You will spend eternity with him. He said, yeah, that's still true. And I'm not going to change that. That's a permanent thing. But you continue to rebel and you grieve me. Why? God says, I can't deliver to you the covenant. And my highest and best for relationship is reconciliation.
Right.
And it's going to be freedom for you and freedom for the other party. And it'll make life so much more beautiful if you would reconcile, but you're rebelling against that. And then you test me and provoke me. And that means you limited what I can deliver to you. And you forgot that I can deliver it to you. So you're on your own. You're starting to move into a much more miserable place yourself.
Right.
And you're justifying it through, I don't really care about the impact on somebody else. And I'm going to stay that way. And then as we look at it, now we're the recipient of that hurt. We're the recipient of that person not caring. And we say, that's not right.
Right.
And God says, exactly. That's exactly right. It's not right. Why? Well, because the best is they would actually have a heart to process with you. It would benefit them to get them out of this place of not living in the covenant and living a life of difficulty and a place of insensitivity at enmity against me, when they could have freedom if they would just process with you. Now you're there because you've gone to forgiveness and you said, I have a heart to reconcile. I could talk to this person with respect and honor about the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth, but I'm not going to come against them. Would you come and do that? And see, people basically a lot of times say, no, I don't care. Or they do, and they continue to justify their position.
Right.
You know, is that, well, I did this because you actually did this and it's all your fault. what I call spin.
Right.
Sometimes it's so clever. It's like, man, that sounds clever. You know, it's like, I probably did that. You know, like, wait a minute. You know, that's not right. So he said, because of that possibility, I want you to start with a thought of, don't be so surprised. And don't think, even though the best would be for them to process with you, a lot of people are going to be in this position of a callous heart that doesn't care, and they're not changing. So this could be particularly a relative or a business associate or somebody around church or small group that you're surprised, how come they don't care about this?
Right.
Would you change their heart? Guy says, well, first of all, they have free will. I don't change their heart per se. I don't force it. I will invite them to. And, I may use you to invite them to, but their choice might be not to, or their choice may be to stay in their callousness. And by the way, and on top of the thing they did, they could likely keep doing it. And that's where the problem is, that, wait a minute, I got to be around these people. And if I don't, you know, set up a condition here that if they don't fix it, then they're not going to follow your will, shouldn't you cause them to fix it? And God says, well, they, and what I hear a lot and what I tell people a lot is to say, look, son, they're not changing. They are not going to respond. They're not responding to anything. They're going to continue to be in their position of manipulation, control, hostility, and coming against you. And so that ain't going to change. My solution for you is going to have to be different than that. Ideally, it would be reconciliation. That's not going to happen right now. Why? Because the other party doesn't want to. But because they're a believer, don't be so surprised that they wind up in that spot. See? Why? Because they're not following me.
Right.
And you got to understand that. And so that's the basis upon, okay, what do we do with this? Is they're not responding. They're acting like an unbeliever. They're self-centered. They're a believer, but they don't care. They have a calloused heart. They got a rebellious heart. Our question is, what do I do with that? The first thing he says is, don't be so surprised. And I'll show you what to do with that next, which is what we're going to get into over the next weeks. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do see that, yep, that's where people can wind up. It's not unusual that we can see that it's really a choice that they have to make. And first of all, I just pray that we make the choice of having a heart to follow you and going to forgiveness, going to a thought of what do we need to do to walk with you to have my joy still be complete and my life in the covenant be complete, and not be surprised at other people around me that are believers but are self-centered and are going to continue to hurt me. Show us what to do with that. And we pray and know that you will, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.